Sit back, relax, and open that mind. You are now listening to the Paranormal Patriot.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Everybody, welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. Actually, had a really good day today. One of the better days I have had in a while, because what came out today, if you know me, you know I am an absolute ecstatic, biggest Prince fan in the world. And his super deluxe version of Sign of the Times came out today, where they remastered the album. The remaster sounds amazing. The original was really, really low fidelity. I couldn't listen to it because the sound quality was so bad. But this new remastered version is just insane. You had the whole album, plus you have the concert film Sign of the Times, plus you have, I think it's 43 unreleased tracks from the 85, 86, 87 era of the Prince legacy, when he was his most prolific. So downloaded that today. It was, oh my gosh, it is amazing. It is an amazing, this guy's amazing. But so I'm in a good mood. And that's going to go bye-bye here in the second half of the show, because I'm going to talk about something, and I guarantee I'm going to get a little bit hot and bothered, because I can't deal with it anymore. But let's talk about last week's show real quick, because last week I was talking and just making conversation, and apparently I said two things that really set people off. You ever been in a conversation and you say something and the other person just totally takes it out of context and just blows up? Well, that's what happened last week. I went back and listened to the show, and I'm like, okay, I guess you could take it that way. That's not how it meant. It really doesn't sound that way to me, but, you know, everybody's triggered. Everybody's offended today, so, yeah, we're going to get a lot of hate mail on it. The first one, of course, is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The second one, I would expect a little bit of feedback from Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We'll get into what was said after I get into this first segment here, but the second one really, really struck me. I'm like, really? Is the paranormal field becoming triggered? Is the paranormal field becoming full of SJWs? Because I had so many people go off on me. Because I had the quote-unquote gall, the nerve, to talk about how orbs aren't ghosts. Now, why, when I said it last week, and the 50,000 times I've said it before, why last week struck a nerve, I don't know. But it did. But I'm going to tell you right now, for all of you who sent me the hate mail, and, you know, it was, oh, I don't know how you can call yourself a paranormal investigator when you just don't believe in the paranormal. How can you be a paranormal investigator and not believe that orbs are ghosts? I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not holding back any punches. I've been in the paranormal field. I have been literally studying the paranormal since literally I could read. I got into it very early in life, 8, 9 years old. No, I could read prior to 8, 9 years old. I'm not that big of an idiot, but you get my drift. 8, 9 years old, I got into the paranormal because I could see things. I sensed things in the house I grew up in. I told you about the story down the basement. It always feel like I was being watched, and to turn around and there'd be just this blurred face fading away of a man in a beard. I don't know who that was, but I could see things like that. I'd seen numerous UFOs as a kid, and it just built into me a desire to find out what is going on and a love for the paranormal. So for all of you idiots out there that are telling me I don't know what I'm talking about regarding the field of the paranormal, you're wrong. I mean, I'm 48 years old. I've been doing this 40 years. God, that makes me sound so old. 40 years I've been doing this. I got the Cosmic Dreamer over here telling me I'm not old, so thank you, Cosmic Dreamer. But when you study something and you dig deep and you just develop and you give your soul to a certain topic over 40 years, you're going to learn some things. And I've learned a lot of things. As I said, I can't even tell you how many ghost hunts I've been on. I can't even tell you how many sky watches I've been on. There's one thing that I can definitively say about the paranormal, and that is I have never, ever, ever seen an orb on camera that I would say that's a ghost. It's just not happening. I've seen orbs. I've seen balls and, you know, light, but they're not orbs. They are physical balls of light that I've seen with my own eyes. These people that film they'll film a room, and all of a sudden you see something float by, and everybody's freaking out because, oh my gosh, look, that's a paranormal activity. No, it's not. It's a piece of dust or it's a bug. Simple, plain and simple. Well, Tom, there was nobody walking by. Okay, a window wasn't open. The furnace or air conditioning didn't kick on. I mean, come on. We in the paranormal field have a hard enough time gaining respect in the mainstream. To have these people that go out and they know who they are. A lot of people knew who I was talking about when I said RW. They're like, oh yeah, that guy, I don't know about him. But people like RW, people like AM, that go out and they videotape their investigations. And every little noise, the house settling, all of a sudden, that's a ghost. A ghost is walking around. Any little orb that flashes by, That's a ghost. That's a ghost. Any little thing that sounds like a whisper. You know how many times I've heard on audio an EVP that I'm like, that is the guy that you were just talking to. He's whispering. But they want to make that, and they're portraying that as proof positive of paranormal activity. And it does nothing but totally dissuade, and it just brings no credibility to the paranormal field. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and for those of my paranormal investigators, those who love the paranormal, and those who have yet to go on a paranormal investigation but are going to or really want to, I'm going to give you some advice. Go into that. You may believe in the paranormal. I believe in the paranormal. Go into any investigation, go into any situation as a skeptic. You do everything possible you can to debunk that claim, to debunk that orb on video. I'll admit, I've seen things that I 100% guarantee you was paranormal activity. I mean, honestly, if I never saw anything, I really wouldn't be as in-depth into it as I am. However, though, I have been in numerous literal arguments with paranormal investigators about what is definitive proof and what is, that's really not anything. You know, when I had my paranormal research investigation team, we called it the Paranormal Research and Investigation Society of Michigan, or PRISM. We would go out and we would investigate. And I had a couple of homeowners really get upset with me because I would go over the evidence and I'm like, okay, that is the house creaking, what you're hearing here. This is somebody talking downstairs, and it's going through the vents. You can hear it upstairs. This light you see, we can pinpoint when that happens. It's when a car turns down the road. They didn't like that. They want to have that paranormal activity. They want to be verified. They want to be validated in the fact that they're witnessing paranormal activity. But I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be, Zach Baggins. I'm not going to be Zach Baggins from Ghost Adventures, where every little sound, every little thing is a ghost. I'm not gonna be on camera going, oh, my head hurts, I'm being possessed, because it happens every episode. And it just destroys the credibility of everything legitimate paranormal researchers like me, like the thousands of others out there, are trying to do. All they're doing is trying to catch a buck. They're trying to make some money. And hey, you know what? He has done very well. Congratulations, Zach Bagans. You've done very well as a fraud. I'm sorry. I'm going to call it as it is. If you've watched Ghost Adventures for any length of time, you know every episode somebody gets scratched, somebody starts getting a headache, somebody gets possessed, somebody starts feeling not well. These EVPs that they're hearing, I've listened to them thousands of times. I'm like, what are you listening to? Because what I'm hearing and what you're hearing are two completely different things. I'm hearing somebody walking, shuffling their feet. It's probably the cameraman. You're hearing a young girl say, save me. I mean, honestly, there's two different types of paranormal researchers out there. There are the ones that go into every investigation as a complete skeptic. And to be honest with you, I respect those people tremendously. And then there are those that go into an investigation knowing they're going to find something, and they make every little noise, every little sound, every little light, every little orb, dust orb or bug, they make that into a ghost. I don't respect that. You're destroying the credibility of the paranormal field, just like UFOs. I mean, how many UFO... I'm sent UFO videos left and right from ufologists saying, look at this one, this is legit. Listen, in this day and age, you can fake anything, and make it look 100% real. And I'm getting videos of something that maybe a third grader did in Photoshop. Back in the 50s, they'd throw hubcaps in the air and film them or take a picture of them. That's about what I'm looking at. And, you know, I would be nice at first. Yeah, I don't know about that one. But now I'm just, that's ridiculous. Don't send me this stuff. Send me something that's legit. I talked about the New Jersey UFO sighting last week. And, you know, when I first saw that, I'm like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Look at all these people. And then the more I looked at it, I'm like, yeah, that's the Goodyear blimp. And I got so much grief from that last week because people are like, that's not the Goodyear blimp, Tom. You're not watching the same video I am. Well, I don't know what video you're watching, but the video I watched and the multiple videos I watched from different angles showed the same craft that, zoom it in, you can almost see Goodyear on the blimp. There's too many people out there that really want that proof of the paranormal. And I get it. I do. I really, truly get it. Because I want that definitive proof. I want somebody, love for it to be me, but it's probably not going to. But I'd like that definitive proof that the paranormal exists, that consciousness, our spirit, UFOs, aliens, alternative dimensions, parallel universes, anything, cryptids, that they exist. I would love that. But I'm not going to just step on my morals, step on my obligation, and step on what I believe in. I need definitive proof. And until I have definitive proof that what you're showing me is paranormal, I'm going to question it. You may not like it, but that's how it is. That's how a good paranormal investigator should be. So all of you that sent me that hate mail saying, Tom, those are orbs. Orbs are definitely ghosts. Okay, you're stretching. You're really, really stretching, and I get it. I really do. I respect you as a paranormal investigator, but come on. There is not one bit of evidence that I have ever seen that any type of orb on camera is a ghost. None. You're doing the paranormal community no service by just putting out these videos. The ghost running in Gettysburg, which is a smudge on the windshield. You have these paranormal investigators that are just, bam, that's a ghost. Look at that ghost go. No, it's a smudge on the windshield, and it took me 2 seconds to realize that. So these people either are that blinded by their desire to see something paranormal, or they know it's fake, and yet they're going to put it out there anyway. And I get the people that are, you know, they're blinded by their desire to see the paranormal. I was like that when I first started. I wanted to see definitive proof of an alien, UFO, ghost, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, you name it. But as I got more studious and I learned more about it, I learned that, you know, this is a legitimate field, the paranormal. That is a legitimate field that we are in tune with, that we are investigating. And we're not doing it a service. And it, you know, people are mocked all the time. I mean, if you listen to the paranormal, if you've been on a paranormal investigation and you told somebody, the chances are they kind of gave you an off-kilter look, gave you a little smirk, or like, what? Because that's the stigma of the paranormal. It's not yet. It's getting there, but it's not yet into the mainstream where that's cool. You know, ghost hunters in the early, mid-2000s, they kind of set the stage for, hey, it's really cool to be a ghost hunter. And that's great because they brought a lot of people into the paranormal that really wouldn't be there. But the problem with that is they brought a lot of people who have no idea what they're doing. They brought in people that look at that TV show and see a one-hour show where the investigation's just, bam, there's a noise, bam, there's a noise. Look at that figure. Look at that. That's a ghost right there. And these people go on these investigations thinking this is just boom, boom, boom. This is paranormal. This is great. And they get there, and they sit, and they sit, and they sit in the dark, and they sit in the quiet, and they're like, what's going on? So that's when these people, they start to make up things. They start to make up their own, I think I saw something there. Oh, there was something moving down the hall. They start making up. Their eyes start playing tricks on them because they want to believe so bad that they're going to witness a ghost. And that hurt the paranormal community more than anything. You know, as much as ghost hunters and the shows that followed paved the way for the almost mainstream acceptance of the paranormal, it's a blessing and a curse because now we have investigators out there that really don't know what it's like to go on an actual investigation. They know what it's like to see one on TV, but when they go on an actual investigation, they're like, this isn't anything like it is on TV. So their mind starts playing tricks on them because they expect to hear noises, to see figures, to be touched, to be scratched, to hear EVPs. So they're going to stretch and they're going to say, I didn't really see anything. So they're going to review the evidence. Oh, look at that orb go by. That's got to be a ghost. But for those of us that have been doing this, I've been doing it since way before ghost hunters. We know what it's like. We know what orbs are. We know what bugs look like on camera. We can differentiate between an actual paranormal encounter and something that's very mundane and everyday. And that's the problem we have in the paranormal community now. Ghost hunters and shows like that grew just a huge grassroots movement for the paranormal, which is great. Because out of that, we have gained some incredible investigators. But we've also gained more people that are just in this, not really for the investigation. They're in it for the thrill of the hunt. That's essentially what it is. I'm in this in a scientific way. I'm not a scientist in any way, shape, or form. But I'm looking for proof. I do a lot of studying on this subject, and I know what to expect and what needs to be done. And what is a ghost, what isn't a ghost, what is normal, what is not normal. And honestly, I mean, there needs to be people like me that conducts classes and tells these paranormal investigators, not everything's a ghost. So for all of you who sent me the hate mail, sorry. Didn't change my mind. For those of you that just were up and down, ghosts are real, ghosts are orbs, orbs are ghosts, orbs are ghosts. I don't have the respect for you that I do have for the paranormal investigators that say, no, they're really not ghosts because they're just not. Give me definitive proof. So the other thing that set people off, and I get this. I really do get this because I knew it was a breaking news story on the show last week, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. I think Donald Trump knew it, that she was at the end of the line prior to her dying. He made a comment about Supreme Court justices, I think 4 or 5 days prior to her death. And even from conservatives, I was receiving emails saying, Tom, let the body cool down before you rip on her. And I'm like, what? And I went back and listened to the show, and I'm like, I don't I didn't rip on her. I mean, actually, I thought I was pretty cordial. I gave my respects. I said, you know, sorry for your loss to the family, you know, but I made a point. This makes this election that much more important. And ladies and gentlemen, look what's been in the news all week. Whether or not Donald Trump's going to get another conservative judge on the Supreme Court. It was, I wasn't lying when I said this just changed the whole dynamics of the election. And I really think if you're a Democrat, you really, really need to think about what Joe Biden and the Democrats have said. Because that, honestly, it should scare you. If you're a conservative, you need, with what they said, you need to be out and voting. Because they plan, if Donald Trump brings forth another conservative voice on the Supreme Court that rules by law, not by opinion, well, then the Democrats said, well, we're just going to pack the courts. So if Joe Biden gets in there, rather than having 9 justices, we may have 12, we may have 15. He'll just load the Supreme Court up with liberal, radical, socialist judges. They'll get around the system. Well, Donald Trump, yeah, he got his numbers in. But you know what? Joe Biden's president. Now, Joe Biden can do anything. So we're going to add 4 or 5 more justices to the Supreme Court. That is their plan. That should scare the living, you know what, out of every conservative in this country, even every independent. Because that proves to you, this proves to you 100% that the Democrats do not care about the rule of law. All they care about is getting their agenda, their power, shoved through. That's all they care about. So when I said that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had passed away, my condolences to the family, you know, I didn't think that was very offensive. Apparently some people thought it was, that maybe I should have waited till the next day to say that. Well, I was doing a show. It broke. Of course I'm going to say something. Oh, just let the body cool down before you really start getting on her. I wasn't getting on her. I mean, I went back and listened to it. I cannot see anything I said that was, quote unquote, getting on her case. Whether or not she died 5 minutes before I talked about it, or 2 hours, or 5 hours, or 2 days prior, doesn't matter. It was a breaking news story. Nobody was getting on CNN or MSNBC when they broke the news in. Hey, maybe you should wait until the body cools down before you break that news there, huh? Come on, Don Lemon. No, it's a breaking news story. This is a news show. I'm going to break news as it comes through. It just happened to come through as I was reporting the show. I'm not going to apologize for that. This election has taken a huge turn, because even if Donald Trump gets his Supreme Court nominee in before the election, if Biden wins, then it's null and void, because they're just going to pack the courts. Their words, pack the courts, is what they said. And lastly, you hear the Democrats getting all over Trump for wanting to get this person confirmed before the election. You have to wait until after the election. Well, here's my take on that. The president is elected president for 4 years. 4 complete years. He is not elected president for 3 years and 8 months. He's not elected president for 3 years, 9 months. He's not elected president until we're in an election season and a Supreme Court justice passes away. He is president for 4 years. In the illustrious words of Barack Hussein Obama, elections have consequences. They do. At this point, the Republicans hold the White House and they hold the Senate. The Democrats hold the House, which means the Democrats can't get anything through because it's going to be blocked by the Republicans in the Senate and Donald Trump, the president, who's a Republican. Elections have consequences. Donald Trump was not elected to we'll just see how long your term is until a crisis comes up, and then you can't do anything presidentially. You have no presidential powers. That's not how it works. Barack Hussein Obama, after Justice Alito was killed, he nominated Merrick Garland for the Supreme Court. Didn't go through. They couldn't get it through. The Republicans right now, they had the votes to confirm the next Supreme Court justice, which it sounds like Amy Coney Barrett, who I believe is like 48, a very young conservative, a very young religious justice to be on the Supreme Court. There is talk that she may be confirmed before the election. So if the Democrats get in, what's going to happen? They're going to pack the court. Their words, not mine. That's what you're up against, people. That's what we're voting against, is you don't win. You don't like the rules, so let's change them. Trump had, I think, 3 justices during his tenure. Hopefully it's a four years more tenure, but during the 4 years that he was president, he had 3 justices that were placed, or that he nominated and were placed on the Supreme Court, and now he may have another to change the whole balance of the way, for a generation, the way that this country is ruled. Because there's a distinct difference between a liberal Supreme Court justice and a conservative Supreme Court justice. The conservative Supreme Court justice rules by the law. What the law says, that's how it's ruled. A liberal, well, you know, the law may say that, but I don't think that's right. And that's the difference. It's not, the liberals are not on the Supreme Court to uphold the law. They are there to change it to the way they think it should be. So if Amy Coney Barrett gets nominated and confirmed to the Senate, or to the Supreme Court, that will take it to a 6-3 conservative majority. To basically, there is nothing going through that the conservatives, that is in law, that the conservatives, who are, let's just call it what it is. The conservatives are law-abiding citizens, or law-abiding, for the most part, politicians. They aren't going to change the rules because they can't win. We can't win a normal vote, so we're going to change. We want to get rid of the Electoral College. You know, it's just like the loser at school. You can't win the game, so let's change the rules so I can win. That's what the Democrats are doing. They're the bullies of the school. I can't beat you, so I'm going to change the rules. That should tell you everything you need to know about the Democrat Party. They want power. They need that power. This election is coming up really quick. I think we're at 39 days, 38 days now, and this is huge. I mean, every time we have an election, it seems like everybody says this is the most important election of our lifetime. But honestly, we're fighting back socialism right now in this country. We are fighting it tooth and nail, and we are right on the cliff's edge of going towards a socialist nation. And it's going to take every one of the conservatives in this country to get out and vote. Because these mail-in ballot things, this is turning into an absolute joke. And I'm sorry, I don't get it. But is it me, or are the Democrats now telling people to go vote in person? I mean, it's all over now. I mean, every Democrat's like, you need to vote in person. Where before it was like, vote by mail, get that vote in by mail. And I'm wondering if they are really concerned that their tactics, that they're going to be caught cheating. Because in Pennsylvania, they found a number of ballots, military ballots, that were voting for Trump in the trash. Yeah, that's ripe for fraud. There's no way there's any fraud there. Oh, that is just the tip of the iceberg, ladies and gentlemen. This is why every single conservative in this country, every single independent that loves their freedom, has to overwhelm this force of cheating, this force of, by all means necessary, that is the Democrat Party. Get out there and vote Republican. Because honestly, you may not like Donald Trump, but he is our last hope to be free for at least another 4 years. That's how close we are to losing this country, is this election. If we lose it, we're done. It's that close. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. We're going to do a little bit more politics, and then we're going to go off. I guarantee I'm going to lose my crap. Because I had an exchange this week that I'm tired of it. We're going to talk about what's going on in this Breonna Taylor thing,
what's going on in Kentucky, and I'm going to lose my mind, I guarantee it. So stay with me, stay with this, because you're going to want to hear it. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
I'm going to die. Someday it'll get me, but it won't be tonight. No one wants to think of me, just a distant memory for the night.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
I had to put on some happy music before this next segment because I guarantee I'm going to lose my shit. I really am. Before we get into that, you might have heard this, but this really honestly scares me. You know, we worry about Joe Biden and his mental incapacity, his mental deterioration. Where is the worry from Nancy Pelosi? And if you haven't heard this, this is really, really odd. This was, I don't even know, Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos. He was asking her about, you know, the Supreme Court. Are you going to push, if the GOP pushes for a Supreme Court nomination before the election, what's going to happen? She responded with this, and it's really, in a way, it's scary. I mean, you got to listen to this. If you haven't heard it, it's really eye-opening. And this is the poster child for term limits right here, because, you know, you get Joe Biden, who's been in politics in Washington, what, 47 years? Nancy Pelosi has been there for decades. These people are, we'll talk about it after this. Listen to Nancy Pelosi in her response when George Stephanopoulos asks her about what would happen if the GOP nominates somebody prior to the election. He asks her if she would take any arrows out of the quiver. And her response is at first silence with kind of a confused look on her face. And then she says something that makes no sense. Listen to this.
10 states, as I said, on Friday, started their early voting the day that we lost Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
But to be clear, you're not taking any arrows out of your quiver. You're not ruling anything out.
Good morning. Sunday morning. The
internet is all abuzz on this, saying, whoa, she just got rebooted. I've seen videos where when she stands or she sits there and just looks confused, you hear the Microsoft booting screen music come on, and then she's, good morning, Sunday morning. It's like she got rebooted. Somebody hit the reset button on her. I don't know. I've had people tell me, Tom, that was just her way of avoiding the question. Well, that's not the case, because after she got rebooted, she answered the question saying we have a constitutional right. No, the constitutional right is to let the president do his job for 4 years. As I mentioned before, it's not 3 years, 8 months, it's 4 years. That is just their way of making it look bad because the president's trying to push something through. Yes, he's trying to push something through. Barack Obama did the same thing. It was okay when he did it, not okay when Donald Trump does it. But again, this is the poster child for term limits. Nancy Pelosi at times cannot form a complete sentence, yet alone a complete word. She staggers. You know, rumors are she might be a drunk. I don't know. I don't want to spread that rumor. But she's well past her expiration date in Washington. Joe Biden's well past his expiration date in Washington. If you're a Democrat and you think after 47 years in Washington that miraculously Joe Biden becomes president, things are going to change, you are sorely mistaken. Sorely mistaken. It ain't going to change. Joe Biden didn't do anything for 47 years. He's not going to do anything for 4 years as president, or 6 months, however you want to look at it. So there was that this week. And then there's this. I want to play for you the 3 minutes and roughly 35 seconds of audio of this woman in Ohio who was at a middle school football game. And she was not wearing a mask. And she was tased and arrested. I want to play for you the audio. And as it's being played, I want to go point out a couple things that you may not have seen. So I'm going to play this, and then I want you to play along with me as I point out a couple of things that really, it's just ridiculous. So just listen to this, okay? And I'm going to jump in every now and then and just make my points. So listen to this, and I'm just going to jump in when I feel the need to, okay? So we are at a middle school football game in Ohio, and this young lady has a big black man literally assaulting her in the stands. So I want you to see this, okay? Here we go. So right now he starts to grab her, and she's resisting arrest. Now, I'm going to pause it right now. I want you, if you can't see the video, but if you haven't seen it, I want you to know there is major social distancing going on here. They are in probably the third or fourth row from the walkway in the stands. There is nobody in front of them. There is nobody to the right or left of them. There is a family. It is a complete family. There is somebody maybe 2 to 3 rows above them. So they are social distancing, and they're outside. So right now, there's a confrontation. This guy, who is 3 times the size of her, is grabbing her. Somebody's grabbing her child behind her, to avoid conflict. And here comes somebody from the school running up with a mask, and he's just going to stand there. Now, I'm going to pause it again. You have fans watching the football game. There's an older guy with a hat about 3 sizes too small sitting in the next aisle over, literally just watching. There are people all over. They're recording this, and nobody is helping this woman. She is with her family social distancing from everybody. And this rent-a-cop, now you're going to hear he might be a cop. He is not a cop. It has been proven he is not a cop. He is a black man who is assaulting this white woman. Now, let's be honest. If this was a white cop going after a black woman at a middle school football game for not wearing a mask, this would be all over the news. People would be rioting. People would be burning. People would be killing people because a white cop arrested a black woman not wearing a mask. But because it's a black cop arresting a white woman, and you'll find out later he tases her, it's okay. This guy in the hat kills me. He's just sitting there staring at him as this black man is on top of her, grabbing at her arms.
This is over a mask.
It's over a mask. Okay. We're coming up to the best part. Now, in the video, behind this confrontation, you can see 2 people walking up the steps to find a place to sit. Neither one of them are wearing a mask. This lady was singled out. So there was some Karen out there who said, oh my gosh, she's not wearing a mask. I'm going to get a hold of security, which is what this guy is. He's a run-a-cop. He's security, who took his power way too far and decided he's going to arrest her. There are 2 people behind him, behind this whole confrontation, not wearing a mask, just moseying on up the stairs. Nobody said a word. That's him on top of her. Again, nobody is helping this woman. This guy in the hat, 3 sizes too small, is just standing there looking at it. Listen to this. Now he's calling for backup.
I don't know.
No, he's not.
I don't think he can arrest her for not wearing a mask.
No, you can't.
This is not a warning.
Nobody's helping. Listen.
Call the cops, Raven.
Call the cops.
Nobody is helping her. Everybody's just staring at this.
There's police on the side and on his back. I don't mean anything.
And here it comes.
But It may be, Bridget, because there's a pop car over there. There's a pop car over there. Do you want to call him?
He just tased her. Now the guy in the hat stands up and walks over there and literally asks what's going on. As if you haven't seen what's been going on, you dumbass. People are sitting there going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. Rather than help this lady. This is not a cop. He does not have the authority. Even if it was a cop, they do not have the authority to arrest somebody for not wearing a mask with their family outside while they're social distancing. So now he's got handcuffs on her, and he is literally shoving her down the flight of stairs to the walkway. Literally walking. I mean, shoving her down as he's trying to get to the walkway. So behind them, as they're walking.
Hey, where's your mask?
Yeah, he's asking the cop where his mask is because the cop fell off, or the mask fell off the quote-unquote cop. Behind them are cheerleaders who are not wearing masks. But the best part is coming up right now. There is the cop, the actual police officer who is going to take control of this situation, coming up and running up on them without wearing a mask. This is beyond ridiculous. This is why this whole mask mandate crap bothers me, and it bothers millions of other people. Joe Biden is all for a nationwide mask mandate. This is why a mask mandate is not a good idea. This young lady did nothing wrong. She social distanced. She was sitting with her family. Her children were not wearing masks. There were cheerleaders not wearing masks. There were people walking up the stairs that were not wearing masks. This lady was singled out, and she was tased. I hope to God that she sues the living daylights out of this guy. This guy was drunk on power. I'm a rent-a-cop. That was him. I'm a cop. I'm a rent-a-cop. I can arrest you. You're not following the governor's orders. It's almost like this was Michigan. It was in Ohio, just south of us. This is why the mask mandate is so scary. It is nothing but a total control concept. You will abide by the rules of the executive order, which has not been passed as law. That is not a law. There is no law that can be written that denies you the ability to sit outside without wearing a mask. There is no law. I don't care where you are. They infringed on her rights. And I hope to God that she sues the living daylights out of that company that hired that run-a-cop. I hope she sues the living daylights out of that middle school that had the guy come up wearing a mask and help the police officer basically restrain her. I hope they sue the police department that didn't do anything to resolve the situation. It's ridiculous. This is why masks scare the crap out of me. Because there are so many people that feel that they're doing a good deed by wearing a mask. And it is their duty to call out people that don't wear masks. Listen, we are having our huge Halloween party this year. It's going to happen. We were debating. We're going to do it. I am terrified that I'm going to have a Karen neighbor call the cops. Now, my coworkers made a good point. Tom, you live in Shiawassee County. The cops are not following the governor's mandate. You can do whatever you want. But I am terrified that I'm going to get some grief from the neighbors. Not that I care, but oh well. But this is what it boils down to. This is Nazi Germany tactics right here. You're pinpointing that one young lady, even though there were cheerleaders, there were people in the stands that were not wearing masks, there were two people walking up the stairs not wearing masks. They're outdoors. They're outdoors. Socially distancing. She was sitting with her family. This is beyond any comprehension of what is right and what is wrong. You should be terrified. This is Nazi Germany right here. This is America if Joe Biden gets elected. Right there. You have seen it. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will. Because this is terrifying to me. The government will mandate where you can go, what you can do, how you're going to do it, and if you don't abide, you will be arrested, you will be tased, you will be taken to jail. And how far are political prisons from now? We've seen them in Cuba. We've seen them in China. We've seen them in North Vietnam. We've seen them in Russia. We've seen them in, where else? Venezuela. If you are a dissident, if you are against the government, you vanish. Don't think that that can't happen here. Holy shit, this isn't even the part I was going to go off on. All right, we're going to get to that part right now. And I'm going to warn you right now, if you have children, you might want to get them off of the show right now, because I'm not going to hold back now. I've had enough. I'm going to make my point, and I'm going to be angry, and I may have a few choice words. I'll do my best to not have some really, really bad words, but I can't guarantee it. So, you know, you can tell your children what I said, paraphrase it so it's not as detrimental to them, but I'm pissed. I have someone who is very dear to me that I no longer talk to that decided to go on Facebook and post basically how horrible we white people are, that we have enslaved the black race, we have gone multi-generations of enslaving the black race while we accumulated wealth, land, blah, blah, blah. And it's time to now to make reparations. And he went off on the police and how horrible they are. And it just struck a nerve. And I didn't respond because this person is very close to me. Again, we don't talk anymore, but it's still very close to me. It's blood. It is a family member. And I didn't want to open a can of worms. I let my aunt do that, because she's jumped on there and just laid the law on to him. Hey, you, I won't give this person's name. My aunt said, you know, you don't know your history. You are blaming the American white person for the whole slavery epidemic, which was horrible. But what you don't look into history is the Africans sold their own people to the white person, but mostly the Arab people, to the highest bidder. She went on to say that what you don't realize is that the white Republican Party is the party that fought to abolish slavery. But yet, the Democrats are the ones that get all the credit for it. It's not the Democrats. The Democrats were totally against the Civil Rights Act of the 60s, 1960s. But the black people have been brainwashed into thinking that the Democrats are the party for them. It's not the Democrats. It's the Republicans that are there. Listen, the post, it was a long post. I'm not going to get into everything, but it went into how black people don't have a chance in this country. And I'm telling you right now, every person in this country, for the most part, has the same chance. It's what you do with that chance. If you want to sit there and live in poverty and blame the system and blame the white man, then all you're going to do is live in poverty. But if you're living in poverty and say, I'm better than this, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to get an education, I'm going to get a degree, and rather than watch things happen, I'm going to make them happen, you will do well in this country. You take anybody, any black person in this country, move them to Africa. Just send them to Africa with how they are now. They will not live anywhere near how well they're living in America. There is a reason that a million people each year are coming to this country legally. Legally, a million people each year come to this country. That's not even talking about how many people come to this country illegally. You know, you've got the SJWs, you've got BLM, you've got Antifa telling everybody how horrible America is. If that were the case, you don't see people crossing the border into Venezuela. You don't see people going into North Korea to start a new life. You don't go to see people in Cuba trying to start their new life for a better future. No. Where do they do it? They do it in America. Because you had the best chance on this planet of having a better life for you and your family. But the media, the Democrats, the school system are out there telling everybody how horrible, how disproportionate America is. Because it's the wealthy. The wealthy have all the money. You know what? There are wealthy people out there. But there are people, we have the biggest middle class of any country on the planet. And you know why? It's because everybody in this country has a chance if they apply themselves. If you want to go out and start hanging out with your boys on the corner, doing drugs, shooting people, drinking beer, looting, robbing, you don't have a chance. You're going to end up in prison. But if you're above that, if you want to get better, if you want to do better, if you want to go to school, if you want to get an education and have a good job, you have that opportunity here in America more so than you have anywhere else in this on this planet. There's no other place on this planet that you have the opportunities that you have in America. And it pisses me off that I have people like this person that sent that post out totally disparaging America, telling us how horrible we are. This guy actually had the nerve to say, you don't know what it's like to be black. This guy's white. He has no idea what it means to be black. How do you know how it is to be black? Well, I hang out with black people. Fine, so do I. A lot of my friends growing up were black kids. I went to a white suburban, I mean the whitest suburban high school in Michigan predominantly. And the people, the kids that were expelled from the Saginaw City schools were moved to my school. I was friends with them. I didn't look at color. I didn't look at race. I looked at your character. If you're walking around like a thug, I'm not going to hang out with you. But you know what? You get these kids out of the thug society. You get them away from these thug friends of theirs, and you put them in with some decent people. They're great people. So just because you hang out with black people doesn't mean you know what it's like to be black. Don't give me that bull crap. You have no idea what it's like to be black. I have no idea what it's like to be black. They have no idea what it's like to be white. This person went on there just ramping on white privilege. There's no such thing. Yes, I may have had different opportunities because of where I grew up. But the reason why? Is I kept my nose clean. I didn't get in trouble with the law. I didn't do drugs. I didn't go out drinking. I didn't fall in with the wrong people. I made the right choices. So therefore, that offered me better opportunities. If you want to go out and you want to thug it up, you better expect to be struggling your whole life. It's not that hard of a concept. It really isn't. America is the greatest place that has ever existed on this planet as of now. There is no better place on this planet than America. There has never been a better place. And you know, I know why? It's because of the founding fathers. Those same founding fathers that are being demonized right now. They set up a system where if you want to work and you want to apply yourself, you can do well. But you have to work. You can't sit there and you can't be a thug. You can't live off the government and expect to do well. It doesn't work like that. They realize that. These founding fathers, I swear to you, had a gift. They were given this gift from God of knowing how to run a nation, how to build a nation. Because this nation is unlike any other nation that has ever existed on this planet that we know of course. We are the most prosperous. We give our citizens, those who go the correct route. My grandfather, my grandmother's ancestors did the right thing. They came in through port of entry. They applied for citizenship. They did the proper things that they needed to do to gain citizenship and became citizens. And guess what? Every one of them were successful beyond their wildest dreams. They didn't jump the border. They learned how to speak the language. My grandpa was from Greece. He came here alone at the age of 13, not knowing a word of English. Learned the language, opened his own business. That business did well. Opened another business, expanded that business, sold that business. He was a very wealthy man. You know why? Because he did what he had to do. He worked hard. He wouldn't take anybody's help. He wanted that himself. That can be said for anybody's ancestors that came over here legally and did well. This is the greatest opportunity. And for these people, these idiots, like this person that just, it infuriates me and it bothers me that this person thinks this way. I have many family members that think this way, that BLM is the greatest thing ever, that Black Lives do matter. And that's how the whole thing ended, Black Lives Matter, because he had to talk about Breonna Taylor. And let me talk to you real quick about Breonna Taylor. That is a horrible, horrible situation that happened to Breonna Taylor. It's a shame that she was killed. you know what? Don't hang out with thugs. Her ex-boyfriend was a thug. She was a thug. You can sit there and tell me she wasn't a thug, but she was hanging out with thugs. Her boyfriend was a drug-dealing thug. And when they did a no-knock, or when they had a no-knock warrant, and let me tell you what a no-knock warrant is. They break your damn door down. They don't even tell you they're there. They break your damn door down. The cops in this situation had a no-knock warrant, and they knocked. They did something that, you know what, they didn't have to do. They gave them an opportunity to give up. Nobody answered. They knew they were in there, so they broke the door down. At that point, Kenneth Walker, I think his name is, Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, started opening fire on these officers. Put yourself in their damn shoes, everybody. What in the hell would you do at that point? Are you just going to sit there and let this jackass fire round after round at you, or are you going to fire back? There are so many lies in this story. Breonna Taylor was not the saint that she is made out to be, just like George Floyd. You know, George Floyd, oh, was horrific. He was resisting arrest. He was high on methamphetamines and fentanyl, enough to kill a guy. Oh, it probably did. Breonna Taylor was hanging out with a thug. Her boyfriend was a drug-dealing thug who had multiple warrants, and they were serving the warrant to this jackass. And she just happened to be in the way. You know, the reports were, oh, she was in her bedroom. They came in and executed her. No, she was in the hallway while the firefight was on. The cops had no idea where the rounds were coming from. Her boyfriend was firing, so they were firing back at her boyfriend, who just happened to be behind Breonna Taylor. She got shot 6 times. I'm sorry. That's horrible. She was an innocent bystander to a point. I'm not going to mince words. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm tired of having the thugs of this country being worshipped as heroes, while those in the blue, those who are killed, white people that are killed, this little 5-year-old kid who was executed in front of his sisters by a black man, there's not a mention of anything about it. How many people, how many freaking athletes have you seen with his name on their helmet, with his name on their jersey? No. But you see Jacob Blake, you see Breonna Taylor, you see these criminal thugs out there getting all the worship by these asshole athletes who nobody freaking cares what you think. You're entertainers. You are paid to play basketball. You're paid to play baseball or football. You're not paid to be an activist. If you want to be an activist, get off the fucking court and be an activist. I'm tired of LeBron James. I'm tired of his "I am greater than thou" fucking attitude. You know, LeBron James said, "I get paid to do more than shut up and dribble," after Laura Ingraham said, "Hey, shut up and just dribble the basketball." He says, "I get paid to do more than shut up and dribble." No, you don't. Your whole fucking job is to play basketball. That's all you need to do. Play basketball and shut the hell up. If you want to be an activist, take off the uniform. Do something. Here's my question, LeBron James. Where were you when those two police officers were shot in Compton? Where was your outrage when that black man executed that 5-year-old innocent child in North Carolina? Where were you? Why were you not speaking out on that? Because it wasn't a black person? It's okay if it's a white person that's shot or a cop, but if it's a black person, then you feel the need to speak out. And it's not just LeBron James. It's everybody in basketball, baseball, and fucking football. I'm getting so tired of this, and I'm sorry for the language, but I told you I'd get pissed. I am so tired of this. And they are indoctrinating. I am so tired of our youth being indoctrinated by this bullshit that the media and the Democrats and the athletes and the elites in Hollywood are putting out. This isn't Black Lives Matter. Yes, Black Lives Matter. But you know what? Everybody else's life matters. It's not just Black Lives. You know, the buzzword right now is racism. Everybody's racist. You want to know what's racist? Black Lives Matter. You're calling me a racist when you're saying only Black Lives Matter? Bullshit. Everybody's life matters. I'm tired of the bullshit. I'm tired of the people like you know who that I'm talking about on this show right now. The person that posted that lengthy BLM, pro-BLM, pro-Antifa. And then the best part about it is he got called out on it. He got called out. And then a retired police officer came on and commented to it. And boy, did he back up. Well, I don't want to defund the police. If I ever get in trouble, the first person I'm calling out of the police. Bullshit. You are part of BLM. You think black lives are the only lives that matter, and I'm fucking tired of it. I'm tired of being scared. I'm not going to be scared anymore. I'm tired of being so scared that I'm going to offend somebody. I'm done. If you're offended, it's too fucking bad. Get over it. Be an adult. That's what life is all about. Life is about being offended and getting over it. I'm done with this. For all of you BLM, your Antifa, and this will put me on a hit list, I know, so I need protection. Anybody want to protect me? Go screw yourself. Honestly, I'm tired of the bullshit. I'm tired of the bullshit. I'm tired of the media. I'm tired of the Democrats. We have got to win this election. Do you want... Listen, look at what happened in Louisville, Kentucky. Two police officers were shot because the grand jury did not indict the officers. Because why? They were fired upon. Put yourself in their goddamn shoes. You're an officer. You're executing a warrant for arrest. And you open the door on a no-knock warrant that you did knock. They didn't answer. You knew they were in there. So you open the door and you get fired upon. What are you going to do? You're just going to sit there and go, damn it, I'm getting fired upon. Or are you going to fire back? You know what? You don't want to get in trouble with the law. Stop breaking the fucking law. You don't want to be tased. You don't want to be shot. Don't fucking resist arrest. It's as simple as that. It's not a hard concept, but people don't seem to understand that. I'm so tired of hearing about how there's just a few bad apples in these protests that are causing riots and looting. It's not the general movement. The same thing can be said for cops. There's a few bad cops, but now you're labeling every cop in that category, and you know what? You're putting cops' lives on the line right now. I could not be a cop. I just talked to a gentleman at work the other day whose son was going to the police academy, and he wouldn't let him go anymore. He says, you're done. You're not going to be a cop. It's too dangerous now. There is a vendetta against cops. Can you believe that? In this country, there is a vendetta against cops, and nobody's doing anything about it. It's just, okay, well, it's their right. It's their right. You know, the media is reporting this as a peaceful protester accidentally discharged their weapon that they didn't even know they had into the head of a police officer and accidentally killed him. And I'm being facetious here, but that's about the way it's being portrayed. I ask everybody listening, how in your right mind can you look at this and not think that it's ass backward? The rioters, the looters, the rapists, the drug dealers, the criminals, they are the heroes, while the police who risk their freaking lives every day for you and I, they are the villains? How in the hell is that? When did normal go out the window? I know 2020 is just a screwed up year. But really, we are now in the system where if you are a criminal, if you're a rapist, if you're a drug dealer, if you are high on fentanyl and have a criminal record where you put a gun to a pregnant woman's belly and threaten to kill her baby, you're a hero. But the ones that are out there putting their lives on the line every day, the police officers, the firefighters, the paramedics, our military, they're the villains? When did we switch into a parallel universe? Because I don't know. This is complete Twilight Zone, topsy-turvy, upside-down land that I don't ever remember signing up for. If you are all for rioting, if you are all for lawlessness, where people can just do what the hell they want, they can take over areas of the city that they feel that there's too much of a police presence in, so they're going to take over the precinct and block off blocks of a city, of a major U.S. city. If you think that's okay, vote Biden. I mean, really, there is no help for you. I honestly cannot for the life of me fathom how people think this way, how people think that it's okay to worship these criminals. Breonna Taylor, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the family of Breonna Taylor. She should not have died. You got to look at the truth. You put yourself in that situation. You put yourself in with that criminal who took first shot at police officers. You were an innocent bystander. You were caught in the crossfire. It is not the officer's fault at all. And for those of you who think it is, you are severely, severely warped in the head. You are looking for something that's not there. I'm literally shaking right now because I'm so angry. It bothers me that there is somebody so close to me who I was so close to at one time that literally thinks that because we are white, we're horrible people. You're white, dude. You're white. You have no idea what it's like to be black. We have no idea what it's like to be black. Black people have no idea what it's like to be white. Oh, I'm going to shut the show down now. I'm literally shaking right now. Thank you for listening. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Please try to keep the hate mail at a minimum for my language on this part of the show. But listen, this just infuriated me. I warned you ahead of time, so I can't say I didn't warn you. But I'm just done. I'm done with this. So let me know. We're coming up on Halloween, and I'm going to do some paranormal, but I had to get this in because it was so important to me. And I really think it resonated with a lot of my listeners. Even before I published this show, I know I'm going to get a ton of people contacting me. So thank you for listening this week. I'm still a little pissed off, so I'm going to end the show with a little snippet of a song that multiple myself are working on. It's called Fists of Fury. And I think it goes well with with the ending of this show. It is a little bit of a violent song. It is a little bit of a mean song, but it fits the narrative of this show. So, again, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Hey, we're coming up on Halloween. Contact me with your paranormal encounters. I want to do a show of guest paranormal encounters or listener paranormal encounters. My goal is to have Harvey Gott on here. Harvey Gott is the host of Satire Is Not Dead podcast. Great show. I'm telling you, I have been listening a lot to that show, and it is a great show. If you haven't done it, go ahead and listen to Satire Is Not Dead. And again, if you haven't done it yet, Jim and Mike Talk, the podcast that you hear at the first part of the show, great show. They have some amazing guests on there. If you like music, if you just like to talk, hear people talk, it's amazing. I have two great people, well, more than two, but great people that I promote their show on this and their great podcast. Do me a favor and listen to them. Tell them I sent you there so they know that you're hearing it on this show. But contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net and let me know what you think of the show, what you want to hear in the future. You know, if you have paranormal encounters, now's the time to let me know because it's Halloween. The next show, I believe, the next show will be officially October. So Halloween officially begins in my book. So contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. I'm going to end the show again with a demo. The sound quality isn't great, but it's a demo version of a song multiple myself and I am working on. It's called Fists of Fury. I'm going to leave it at that because I'm a little pissed off. So thank you for listening to the show. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll talk to you next week.
Yo, multiple myself. They messed with the wrong boys this time. They're gonna have to pay. You start, I'll follow, and you finish them off. Let's go. Get them, boy.
Piss me off and you'll find that you will like me. Keep doing what you're doing and you're gonna see. You'll be laying on the ground with broken bones and your face is all mangled and bloody. Your mama's not gonna be here to save you, so you better take your beating real good. I'll call her when you're buried and dead. She can come live with me in the hood. I'm gonna keep your girlfriend safe. She'll be sleeping with me and my dad. We'll be cuddling.